You can't save your praise. When it's time to praise him, you need to praise him. For Jesus said when he was coming into the city, if these would hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. And you ought not to want no rock to cry out for you. When the church begin to praise, praise will spread, but the church will not praise him because he's worthy, but we will not. We wait until that special time. Any time is a special time. Father's Day, Mother's Day, no, every day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and try to wait until it gets right to praise God, you will not praise him. So every time you get an opportunity, you need to praise him. I praise him this morning, sitting right there where Deacon Jernigan is, and wasn't nobody in here but me. But you just got to praise him every chance you get, because there will come a day when you will want to praise him and you can't. But this is the day that praise is here, so you praise him. The title of the message today is Preach the Word. Preach the Word. There's nothing else to preach but the word. The word has been preached here this morning. We get so messed up with preaching that we think the only somebody that preaches the joker that stands right here. It's not. All of us, every saved, born again child of God is a minister of God. That's why you need to preach this word. And I'll just tell you, y'all been hearing me preach about prayer. God's a prayer answering God. And I tell you what, excuse my grandma, he ain't through with you. Some of the rest of us know how to play church. We've been playing church. It ain't been real with God. But one of these days, God gonna shake you and everybody gonna know that you ain't playing church. They gonna know you for real. So you might as well get used to it. He's God. He's worthy to be praised. He had one son, one only begotten son, and he sent him to die for you. And you won't praise him. Who do you think you are anyhow? No. Praise him. Preach the word. They have been, and you have been preaching the word ever since you got here. God got on him and he tried not to let him use it. But see, when what's on the end, it's in here. It's in here. And it's coming out now. And I'm not even trying to make it come out. It comes out. That's the way the Holy Spirit would do you. You will try to keep him in and boxed in, and he'll come out. I ain't crazy, y'all. If I am, I'm crazy for Jesus. But we need to let him out. The church needs to stop squelching Jesus, because he's already done what he's going to do, and we won't let him. We got him in a box. I'm gonna do this. Y'all ain't going to be long. I got 9 pages here, but I'm not going to be long. Listen. Come here, come here. Y'all have to excuse me. I don't think I'm blaspheming anything up in here, but let me see, let me see. Come on, let's wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Before this fall off, let's remove this. Look here. Yeah. I don't know how to do anything but the way God showed me how to do stuff. Thank you. Brother Larry is our groundkeeper. He does an excellent job in keeping the ground. He does an excellent job. I think we have one of the cleanest campuses that there is, and we're in the middle of the hood. And nobody think nothing good and clean can come out of the middle of the hood, but we're here to show them that it can. But because of he does such a good job, this is all the trash that I could find this week. This week, this was on the ground, and there's a message in this, y'all. Brother Rudolph accused me of going out there getting my messages. I got this one from out there. We have an excellent keeper of grounds, but because he's so excellent, that's all I could find. In your life. In your life. As saved and as sanctified as you are, there's still some mess in your life. There's some stuff in your life that have no business being there. This right here is not on God's ground. It's not a part of it. There's some things in your life. And you saved. You sanctified. You full of the Holy Ghost. But there's some stuff in all of our lives that we don't want to admit that's there. And it's there. Some of this stuff. This one right here had been out there so long that the name, the color of it had gone away. Why are you telling that back? There's some stuff in all of our lives that have been there a long time. We have forgotten that it's there, but God knows it's there. And see, it's not hurting you. Doesn't mean you're lost, but you got some stuff in your life. That's why every chance you get, you ought to praise him. You ought to praise him. And praising him, y'all, that's last Sunday's message, but praising him is more than clapping your hands when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You got to praise him when you leave this place, when you go out in the world. You got to live like a God person, and that's how you praise him. The weapon of preaching. Preach the word. Preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. All of you got a Bible, so read it. And I'm not going to read it to you because I got to get this to you. This is the final letter written by Paul. It was written sometime between AD 64 and 68 as he awaited execution in a Roman prison. Us as y'all can take your seat. He was waiting in prison to die because he had been preaching the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And he was in prison again, but he was still had to be Paul. He was in prison. Most of his friends had abandoned him, and they had left him by himself. Friends, fair weather friends, they'll leave you a hole in the bag. They'll walk off you in all kind of trouble. Everybody just hit you upside the head with bricks and stones, and they'll run off and leave you. But they're your best friend when things are going well. When you got a crowd, they're your best friend. So Paul was writing to Timothy, his spiritual son, to hold what he had in Christ. He was telling him to exalt and to be bold and endure the faithfulness in the face of false teachers. Paul showed a customary concern for sound doctrine. Scripture said Paul is inspired by God through the sufficiency of all things. All the believers that have been walking with God for a while, should be eager to pass on what they know, their knowledge and the script of the scripture, to those who are younger than they are in the faith. Don't try to keep it to yourself. They just watching you to see how you live, but you need to tell them about what thus says the Lord. People will turn away from the truth. They'll grow weary of the plain gospel of Christ. They will be greedy for fables and tales, old, what they call old wives' tales, and talk about the pleasures of them. People do so when they are not willing to endure preaching, the searching, the plain, and the honest gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who love souls must be ever watchful and must venture and bear all the painful effects of their faithfulness and take all opportunities to make known about this pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Point number one, preach the word. For the eyes of God are watching you. Therefore, I charge you, preach the word. You must preach the word, for God and Christ are watching you. Their eyes are upon you, and they're watching to see if you preach the word. So you can preach and not preach the word. You can preach your own ideas, other people's ideas. But Paul is saying, preach the word. Preach the word of God. The minister is not to preach his own ideas, nor ideas of other men. They are the word of God is the glorious gospel of our salvation. The word that we must preach is the very revelation of God himself. A record of what God wants us to know. What we must preach is the unbelievable love of God that tells us about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to earth to save men, to die for wicked men and women and boys and girls just like us. What we are to preach is the great mercies of God that he has poured out upon us through the death of his Son. What we must preach is the coming resurrection and the judgment of all men. We must preach this, y'all, because it's what thus saith the Lord. That's why you could tell the people that God got something they've been dealing with all the week. They've been trying to get out of praising him, but God fixes it, so you will have to give him credit for what he's done. You might not tell me, but you will. By and by, God will bless you so you will tell somebody what God have done for you. I might not tell you in words, but I'll tell you with my action how I live. We need to understand the word of God. Lord Jesus shall judge the living and the dead. First, he's going to judge us is whether or not we preach the word. If he call you to preach and you do not preach, you shall be judged and condemned. If he call you to preach, he's going to judge us as whether or not we preach the word. If we preach the ideals of men instead of God's word, we shall be judged and condemned. The Lord Jesus shall appear in the glory and as a returning conqueror. When a Roman emperor was scheduled to visit a city, they would go around and they would take everything they had and clean the city because the emperor was coming. That's what Jesus left his word here to do for you. This word will clean you up if it gets down on the inside of you. That's why sometime when the preacher is preaching, he's talking about you, and nobody told him anything about you but God. He steps on your foot, not your toe, because God have told him to preach the word. Preach the word. When they want to hear it, preach the word. When they don't want to hear it, preach the word. Oh, I love you, Lord. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for making preachers out of all of us. The Lord Jesus shall set up his kingdom forever and ever. When he set up his kingdom, the true ministers of God will be citizens of the Lord's kingdom. His or her position and rank in that kingdom will be based on how you live down here in this kingdom. If you are supposed to preach the word in songs and you don't preach the word, they have to stay on you and edge you on, butter you up to get you to sing. Your position won't be as high when you get to heaven as it is down here, because Jesus came because he saw a need, and that's what you need to do. He placed in you what he needs for you to do for him. Point number two. See, when you do what he tells you to do, he'll give you strength and ability to do what he needs for you to do. And you can't do it when you want to do it. You have to do it when he deems it necessary for you to do it. See, some of you watch me up here and you say, I don't see how he does that. I don't either. But I know that if I do this, I'm all right with God. I'm all, because this is what he put in me. He put this in me. And this is what have to come out of me. You can't get anything out of that bottle that you didn't put in there. And when God puts something in you, you have to do it. Or you have to take the consequence. Some of us, got some consequences coming because you won't do what thus saith the Lord. And while I'm on that point, Happy Father's Day. And I stopped by to tell you, this past week, we did not act as fathers. We acted as anything but fathers, because we had vacation Bible school, and there were no men doing anything as far as instruction is concerned. All of us were sitting on our stools or do nothing, getting taught something, but we don't depart it out. You can only put so much water in that bottle, and then it's going to run out. It's not going to stay in there. God only keep depositing stuff in you, and if you don't take it out, he won't have reason to put anything else in there. You remember the widow that the prophet went to, and her barrel was empty, and he told her to fix me a morsel, and every time she went back to the barrel, it was some more in there. With our barrel, he won't put nothing in there, because we won't make it get empty. We won't make it get empty. You have to empty yourself. When you empty yourself, God will put something else back in you. But if you don't empty yourself, that's free, brothers, not brethren, brothers. And I look at any one of you in the eye, straight eyeball to eyeball, and tell you. Because I'm obligated to preach the word. I'm obligated to preach the word. We did nothing in vacation Bible school. That's free. That's free. Y'all ain't got to pay me for that. That's free. And if I need to tell you again, when it's just me and you, I'll tell you again. I used to hear an old man say, he was about 6'2 or 6'3. We called him Papa Conyers. He said, I shadow the ground I stand on. I'm not but 5'10", but I do too. When you're right, you just need to say it. And I'm going to leave it right there. Point number two. Preach the word. For this is the Lord's call to you, to each one of you. This is the Lord's call to you. Preach the word. Preaching the word is to be a consuming passion in the minister's life. The whole thrust is obsession. Preaching is burning within his or her soul. And they must be consumed with preaching, a burning passion to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because preaching is God's chosen method for saving people. People love to hear y'all sing. Y'all sing real good. But preaching the word is what will save us. A lot of people come to church to hear the choir. But preaching the word is what saves all of us. Preaching the word saves the choir. Preaching the word saves all of us. Your word has to be preached. Jesus was the best one that they ever have been. We must preach this word because the ministers will be held accountable. 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 To preach. To preach is to stand before people in all the dignity and authority of God Himself. That's why the minister themselves need to make sure that they are living just like they're preaching. That's why I tell you to hide and watch. Watch me and see if I'm doing anything out of the will of God. Watch me and see if I'm not living the way God wants me to live. And in the yesterdays of my life, I wouldn't have told you to watch me because I wasn't living right. But you can watch me now. If I do wrong today, it's because I don't know it's wrong. And if the word tells me I'm wrong, if I wrong you, I'll look at you and tell you, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Because God have fixed me. And when you allow him to fix you, you can say the same thing. Nobody else might not believe what you're saying, but God will know that you're telling the truth. Because I guess that's why when I come up in here, I come to preach, I got butterflies down in my stomach because I don't want to say anything to make anybody walk away from God. Ask God, so God, fix me. So what I say is what you need for me to say. And God, if somebody take what I say wrong, let them be wrong, not understanding where you have me. God have every one of us in a different place in our life. Some of the gospel, like what I know something else I'm going to say down in here, it's going to offend some of you. That's all right. When you get to the point where I am, and God, this won't bother you. Because you will look at it and you will judge yourself according to the word. That's why you have to preach this word. Because you're standing in the dignity of God. You are the only God or the only Bible that a lot of other people will ever read. And I don't place myself as God, but it's a scary thing to think that you are representing Lord God Almighty. You representing the one that said, let there be, and it appeared. Out of nothing, he brought something. Out of darkness, he brought daylight. And he took and flung the moon and the stars and the sun in their socket. And they are still there today. That's the God that we represent when we preach the word. That's the God that you represented when you were singing about him up here today. That's the God. That's when you're preaching the word. And in that same verse, he said, be instant. In season, out of season. I thought about one thing, y'all. All y'all that know me know I love to eat. And I thought about cantaloupes and Mountain Dews. Honeydews. Yeah, honeydews. Mountain Dew is a drink, ain't it? I'm drinking too. I thought about Mountain Honeydews and cantaloupes. You can get them out of season. They look real good. But they taste just like cardboard. Only thing, they got water in them, juice in them. But when you get them in season, when you get it in season, it's better. You preach out of season when people don't want to hear you. Like when you're talking to your best friend that was your road dog when you were running. They don't want to listen to you. Oh, man, you just a holy road. But you that's out of season. You still tell them about what thus saith the Lord. He said, be instant. You got to do it all. You got to be ready to do it anytime. anytime, any place, and anywhere. I said it, and I'll say it again. Wake me up in the middle of the night, and I'll tell you about Jesus. Because that's my life. That's my life. That's my passion. That's what I love. I love him because of where he brought me from. If we are instant, in season, and out, we'll take a stand. Stand up on it. You stick to it. The minister must stand and stick to preaching. No matter what, the preacher is to proclaim the word when times are favorable, when they're unfavorable, when nobody want to hear him, everybody get up. You still preach the word. I don't know how I could come up with this, but I got it here and said, there's no closed season on preaching. A lot of other things, the season run out. But you can always preach. There's never a bad time to preach. You got to preach. If God called you to, you get an opportunity to, you have to preach. Then it said reprove. To reprove is to stir a person to prove himself, put on a conviction, to lead a person to see their own sin and to feel guilty over them. Now, just recognizing that you have sin in your life is not any good. You got to know and know that you know that you know that you know that you know that that your sin is wrong. And it makes you feel guilty because you are sinning against a God that loved you enough to die for you. And this is another freebie right here. If you're saved, I mean saved, you cannot sin and it not bother you. You might not tell anybody else. You might keep on doing it just like it doesn't bother you. But when you get by yourself, you say, God, will you forgive me? Because it bothers you. And the thing that God will do to you, after everybody else have gone to sleep, he'll wake you up. He'll wake you up late in the midnight hours and say, Baggett, do you remember what you did today? You will turn over. And you'll be like a friend of mine thought if he left this bar, God wasn't going to be at the next bar. You will turn over thinking that because you turn over this way, God's not there. And God will say, Baggett. You see, y'all like y'all ain't been there, but I know you have. But see, when sin is in your life and you're a believer, it bothers you. It irritates you. And that reminds me of a story, and this one's free too. A pearl is made in a lobster or oyster, wherever they're made, by irritations. A grain of sand gets in his body, and that it causes an irritation, and the clam will secrete substance, and it will form around that grain of sand, and it keeps irritating him. It keeps irritating him, and it makes a pearl. All of your irritations, they gonna make pearls. What do you call a pearl? When you're able to witness to somebody else that's going through the same thing you done already been through. That irritation that you had made a pearl in your life so you can tell somebody else. That's why I can tell y'all about that sleeping. I love to sleep, but when God wakes you up, you can't go back to sleep. You got to deal with him then and there because he will not let you go. And then what makes it so good? You'll think you're going to be sleeping the next day. No, you won't be sleeping. Because see, we get sleep messed up with rest. Yeah, y'all want to sleep. You need to rest. It won't take as much sleep as you rest. Come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you. If Jesus give it to you, hey, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Preach the word. Then we have to exalt. With all long suffering and doctrine. Exalt have the idea of pleading, begging you. I urge you. It means to beseech and encourage and comfort and help. It is not enough to encourage and comfort and help in carrying a person to Christ. You got to help them. You got to encourage them. You got to take them. You got to walk them through it. Non-believers and new believers need a helping hand. The Holy Ghost is called a helper. It said it's something that come alongside you and help you when things are going bad. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you and that make you help somebody else. That's what we do not want to do. The church, when a young believer falls, the church step on him. You don't need to step on him. You need to come alongside him. If you got the Holy Spirit, you will come alongside him and help them. Point number three, preach the word. For, I don't want you to miss this, the great apostate is coming. Preach the word. Even as Paul was writing these words, some false teachers had already seeped into the church. The future was not too bright. The day was coming when the apostate would sweep throughout the church. And brothers and sisters, can I just tell you, it's in the church today. Apostasy is when we want to fall away from God. We want to go away from what got us to this place. Jesus Christ got us this far, and we want to turn and leave him. We want to tell people that there's another way to get to God. I stop by to tell you there ain't but one way. And I know ain't, Sister Carolyn, might not be good, but it fit good to me right there. Ain't. There ain't no other way to get to God but by Jesus. You got to go through him. You can't go around him. You can't go over him. You got to go through him. He said, I am the door. He that come in must come by me. The apostate is in the church because we said there are more than one way of getting there. I stopped by to tell you, I don't want to know that way. When I first moved on Valley Road, I learned one way to go to Valley Road. And that's the way that I still go 95% of the time today. I go down 90, I take a left at the Armory and go straight down Valley Road. I know that there's one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus the Christ. I don't want to learn another way, but I know that there's somebody may say there's another way, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going the way that I'm going. I'm going the way that I know. Apostate will come in the church, but the preacher got to preach the word of the true and the living God. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to get out your way, but God will provide just what you need. People will not endure sound doctrine, but doctrine means to teach the word of God, the instruction of God, the word of God, the Holy Scripture. We do not enjoy hearing that we are sinful and depraved. We are dirty. We are unclean. We are selfish. We are immoral. We are unjust. We are unworthy, ever fallen, and are always away from away, always coming up short. We do not enjoy hearing that we do nothing whatsoever to become acceptable to God. God made a way for you to come to him, but you got to come bearing yourself, bearing your soul. You can't come to God thinking you're going to hide where you are. I stopped by to tell you, he knew you before you were born. He knew what you were going to do, but you got to live and you got to come to him. We don't like to hear it. We want everything to be okay. However I want to live, it's okay. Church, you accept me just like I am. Yes, when you come to be here, I will accept you. But I'll tell you this, expect God to change you, because I done already prayed for you that when you come here, God's going to change you. And I'm expecting him to do it because he's done it before. He done it for me and he'll do it for you. God will change you if you allow the word to get inside of you. That's why you got to preach, preacher. You got to preach the unadulterated word of God. Whether they want to hear it or not, you got to preach. You got to preach. If they sit up there and go to sleep, you still got to preach. If they get up and walk out, you still got to preach. If they sit up there and make ugly faces at you, you still got to preach the word of God, because you are not preaching for them. You are preaching to them. You preaching for Lord God Almighty. You don't have to like me. In fact, I don't care if you don't like me. God didn't say for you to like me. He said, love ye one another. You got to love me, because I'm going to preach this word of God. If you don't want to hear it, that's all right. But one of these old days, you're going to have to give an account of the deeds that's done in this whole body, and you won't have to give an account to Baggett. Baggett got to give an account for himself. That's why I'm going to preach this word as long as I got breath in my body. I'm going to preach it. Let me get to point number four and I'll get out your way. Preach the word, for you must complete and fulfill your own ministry. Your own. I cannot finish Minister Allen's course. I have to finish my own course. You have to finish your own course. That's why God gives each one of us an assignment to do. Who's that used to do the commercial? It was a coffee commercial. Said, fill it to the brim. Anybody else old enough to remember that? Was it Mike's House? It was some one of them coffee companies. They said, fill it to the brim. Brim or the rim, or all the way to the top. All the way to the top. Y'all understand that one, don't you? Fill it all the way to the top. That's what we got to do with our own ministry. Each one of us got to fill our own cup. Fill it, and if it runs over, God's going to bless it. The minister is to watch in all things. The word watch means to be sober, calm, alert, keeping cool, calm, and collected. For instance, when your best tithing member come to you and tell you that they're going to move their membership, you tell them, thank you, God bless you, and God keep you. What can I do to help you? If they want to leave, let them go. You got to be cool and calm no matter what the situation is. If the deacons come in there and want to run you off, just stay there and be real cool and calm. Let them shoot their best wad. But you be been talking to God. And God will handle whatever. God will fix you. So stuff won't bother you. Stuff won't bother you. Because when you preach this word, God will fix you. So stuff won't get under your skin. Because if you're walking with him, he's already shown you that something's coming. And when it's coming, he'll prepare you for it. You might not know why he's preparing you, but he will prepare you for stuff that comes your way. When I was coaching, if something got wrong with one of the guys that I was coaching, I got those butterflies. And we'd come in the locker room, I said, okay, what's wrong? One of them said, I got in an argument with my daddy, and he told me I gotta quit. I said, okay. But see, God had fixed me so I would know when something's wrong. Some of you, I know. I just don't say anything because God haven't said for me to say anything to you. Yeah, because he talks to me. And people that you love, and I don't have to know everything about you. Don't want to know. because that's too much. It's more y'all than there is of me. I got a problem keeping up with my own stuff. So I'm saying, God, fix me so I can, I'm there if you need somebody. But my point is that God keeps you at a level where you can always listen and be with him. And brothers, I'm not putting crutches under y'all's arms that I was talking to a few minutes ago about not doing any teaching. I know why y'all don't do it. I know why. Y'all want me to tell you? You be scared. Because some of you have gone and read over in James where it says more is expected of those that teach. Yeah, it's a job teaching. That's why I know that. I know that. Because when you're teaching, you can't, the old saying, you can't, what is it? Teach where you, something like that. You gotta know it and live it if you're gonna teach it. If you can't teach it just because it's up here, that's what the devil does. He got it up here, but he doesn't have it in his walk when he's walking every day. And that's what's wrong with a lot of us, not just my brothers, some of my sisters too. Uh-huh. Some of y'all ought to be doing something other than what you're doing. But you just, each one of us in here know where this is in our own lives. Every living one of us know where the trash is in our own lives. And guess what? Don't you tell nobody. Because everybody that come to you say they want to help you, they're not to help you. The minister is to endure affliction. This means you got to suffer hardship. Trouble going to come. You're going to be by yourself. And I thought about all you military guys in here. I thought about it. It says that this is a statement that's made. You got to stand. And it says it's a command. And I thought about one of the, I don't know anything about military. I just know what some of y'all have told me. It said when that drill sergeant holler, "Tension!" You got to snap to it. And if you don't snap to it, something's going to happen. That's the way it is with this. You got to stand. If you're gonna preach and teach God's word, you gotta stand. And you gotta stand on the word. And don't you look at me real funny and think it's not gonna happen to you. Every born-again believer is a teacher and a minister of God. There's somebody you need to teach this word to. Maybe a little 3-year-old child, you need to teach them. If you're gonna walk with God, you need to form this opinion. I would rather walk a lonely road with Jesus than be without his fellowship in the crowd. I would rather live in a cottage and eat simple food and have him as the head of my house and the unseen guest at every meal. That's the way we need to be when we're talking with God, when we're walking with God. The believer is to complete and fulfill his ministry. He or she is to carry his ministry out to the end, fully performed all the duties that he or she are supposed to perform. I'm through. Got a couple of illustrations for you. There were 3 men. They all died and went to heaven. And you know who met him at the gate? St. Peter. The first man walked in, had his Thompson chain reference, had on his 3-piece suit, had a tote bag with another 3-piece suit in it. He walked up to St. Peter and he said, "My name is Reverend so-and-so," saying, "I'm here because I have done the will of God." He said, "And if you're going to teach the word of God, you need to look good." St. Peter looked at him and told him, said, "Go to the back of the line." He went to the back of the line. The next guy come up. He was dressed real good. He said, my name is the Reverend Dr. So-and-so. I graduated from seminary and I have my doctor's degree, said, and I have a large church. So where do I need to go? He said, go to the rerun waste department. He left and went on back over there. Then up come the guy. His shoes were turned over. His pants had holes in them. And he had a Bible that he had to hold together. And when he walked up to Peter, he walked up just like this with his head down. He said, who are you, sir? He said, I'm Reverend ABC. He said, why do you look so bad? He said, I don't look bad. He said, why you like you look like you look? And why is your Bible so worn out? He said, sir, he said, I didn't have enough time to help everybody. And I just feel like that you're not going to let me in. St. Peter told him, said, come on in. We worry so much about how we look, what we got. And I'm not saying you ought not to care about your appearance, but in your spiritual walk, how do you look? In your spiritual clothes, how do you look? What do you have on in your spiritual clothing? That's what needs to be important for us. There was a 5-year-old boy who went to a place and he saw a piano. He walked to that piano and he just started flipping, just bothering with it, messing with it. His daddy saw him do that and he got him. He got a piano and put it in his house. Some kind of way his son learned how to play a song, and I thought about it before I got with Brother Derek and see if he could play it. Chopsticks or something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But the little boy learned how to play chopsticks on the piano. He learned how to play it on the piano. And he was in love with playing the piano. And his daddy found out that a great pianist was coming to town. So he surprised his son and bought him a ticket. And him and his son went to the place to hear him play. They walked in there, and up on the stage, his son saw what they call a big grand piano. Is that a piano? Baby grand. He saw a big baby grand piano up there on the stage. And his daddy was walking to the seat, and the baby kept walking. He walked around behind the curtain, went up on the stage where he got to see that, and he saw that piano. He just sat down to the piano and just started playing. And after a while, the people over there in the ends of the curtain heard the piano playing, so they just drew up the curtain. And he was sitting there playing the piano, playing chopsticks. And the people that was in charge were fixing to come out there to get him. And the pianist walked out and said, he walked over there to where the little boy was, put his hand, and the little boy started, he said, no, son, keep playing. He kept playing that. And the musician, the pianist, reached over his fingers and started playing the same tune. And then he looked over at the brass, and they came in and they start playing. The percussions, all of them start playing. And the little boy still playing chopsticks. Yeah. Don't y'all stay with me on the chopsticks and the little boy. See, you and your walk with God, you doing the very best you can. And you thinking about quitting, but then the master comes out. The master comes out. And the master just reaches over you and start playing. And start playing. And then brings everybody else in. And oh, how beautiful it is. See, that's what happened this morning in worship service. In the beginning, when the choir started singing. They were doing their very best. But then the master came in. when the master come in, what you're doing is so much greater because you're preaching the word of God in music and in song and in the word of God. But when God, when the master touches, what you're doing, it becomes great. That's why we need to preach the word. Don't worry about whether people like what you're saying. Just tell them what thus saith the Lord. And when you tell them what thus saith the Lord, and the master touch it, it becomes great. It becomes great. Don't worry about how bad your little bit is. Just give it to the master. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus,